Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. It's 9 o'clock, exactly 9 o'clock. We are starting with our meeting now. And then in terms of the chairperson who is still on sick leave, the committee will have to elect an acting chairperson for the meeting today in terms of Rule 159 of the National Assembly. And then I'm just going to call for nominations. If there's only one nomination, that person will be declared the acting chairperson. If there are two, then it means we're going to vote by a show of hands. The person with the majority of the votes will be elected the acting chairperson for the meeting. Can I call for nominations from the floor? Yes, Mr. Lee.
I move for the name of Honorable Moses Tabana as the chairperson. Thank you.
The name of Mr. Chabani has been nominated. Any seconder?
Thank you, Chair Buslin. Honorable Mulekwa second, Honorable Tule.
And then Ms. Mulekwa seconded the motion to nominate Mr. Chabani. Any other nomination? No other nomination. So therefore, Mr. Chabani, you have been declared duly elected the acting chairperson of the meeting. Can you please take over the meeting?
No, thanks, Mr. Matonsi, and good morning to all honorable members today. The morning to the minister, DM, the DG, and the entire component staff of Home Affairs, our officials, of the portfolio committee.
Recording in progress.
Today we are receiving the fourth quarter performance report and expenditure. We hope members will interact with the report. Secondly, today we are going to receive or interact on the report of the oversight, which you conducted members with the Home Affairs on the issues that we have observed during our oversight, and wish all our members, team, to their contributions with objective to assist the department to move forward and strengthen its work. We are noting that the Women's Month, and all of us will get enough to celebrate this important month, but with its own challenges that it has arise. You have noted recently the brutal murder of one of the students in the Fort Hare, and call and fight remain steadfast to fight against this demon of gender-based violence. On those notes, Mr. Matonsi, I would request you to highlight the agenda so that we interface with the items that are before us.
Okay, Chair. Are you able to see, Chair?
Yeah, if you can... can you increase the... Yeah, colleague, this is our agenda. I can see it's struggling, Mr. Matonsi.
Yeah.
We're going to receive apologies, briefing by the department, comments or questions, responses. And then we go to the adoption of our minutes. You remember we postponed the minutes last week, and we gave members the opportunity to look on the minutes. We'll be adopting them today, then we close. We must take note that members are going to interact with the oversight report. Parliament is going to start at 2 o'clock, but I think we will have been concluded earlier on. Mr. Matonsi has already read the apology of the Portfolio Committee Chairperson, Advocate Bongo. Can I invite any other apology that has not been that? Mr. Matonsi, is that the only apology?
No, Chair, there is an apology from Ms. Mujisa. She said she'll be joining the meeting later. It's in another meeting now.
Okay, thank you. Any apology, honorable members? None. Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson. I attend the apology. Maybe that day I did not say that I will leave the meeting at 11 o'clock.
Okay, noted. Minister?
We don't have any apology on our side.
Thank you. We'll now invite the department to give us the brief on the report. Minister, I'm inviting you and you'll work on your delegation.
Yeah, thank you. Honorable Chair and honorable members, thank you very much for this opportunity. I just have two comments to make. The first one is that this report we are giving to you, which is the fourth quarter report, meaning from January to March this year. You'll remember that it happened in the middle of the second wave, which of course the country was not expecting at that time because we were not yet experienced about COVID-19. The second wave, which devastated and killed more people than the first one. We were in the middle of it, and hence certain services had to be closed because it was an emergency. You may remember that I came to announce to this committee that within the first 14 days of January, which is the part of the period under review, we lost 7 members of Home Affairs Department to COVID-19. And so we had to curtail the services in order to save people's lives. We had to take precautions. And for that reason, quite a number of services could not go on. And they are going to be reflecting, of course, in the performance percentages. The second thing I just want to announce, honorable members, is that you may be aware that since 2014, this department never had the CIO. It always had people in acting positions, the chief information officer. And honorable members did complain, especially when the department experienced the notorious downtime, members will ask about the CIO or the head of the, IT as such. This post was advertised 4 times. Interviews were conducted with nothing coming out. We had to go on an extensive headhunt. I'm happy to announce that at long last, the cabinet has finally appointed Mr. Nkandla Mabaso after a hunting process, who is now the CIO. He has been with us, if I'm not mistaken, for a month. And he is here on the platform. Maybe he can just show his face. Mr. Mabaso, please. I saw him on the screen. I don't know what's happening.
Okay, proceed, Minister. We'll call him later.
Yeah. I'm sure you are aware the head of anti-corruption unit, yes, Advocate Koni Moise, we introduced him in the last portfolio committee meeting. So we filled one of the most important positions, some of the most important positions in the department. I will then allow DG to introduce the rest of the team that he has brought along here. And after introducing it, I will ask the DG to take members through the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. DG?
No, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members of the committee. Good morning to the Deputy Minister and the colleagues from the Department of Home Affairs. I think the Minister has already introduced the CIO, Mr. Nkandla Mabaso, and also Advocate Koni Moise, DDG for Counter-Corruption. So let me take this opportunity to introduce the DDG Tulad Nimavuso, who's responsible for institutional planning and support, DDG Thomas Sigama, responsible for civics. Unfortunately, I think Minister will recall that following a meeting that we had with the Minister of Immigration in Botswana, Mr. McKay had to go to Hemsburg, so he's battling with connectivity. That's in the Northern Cape, but a border post in that part of the world. However, Mr. Modiri Matthews is representing him. And then we also have Mr. Gordon Holambi, the CFO. And then we're also joined by Muzi Njoko, who's standing in as a PLO in the ministry. We're also joined by Mr. Mudupi Maisela Kamduli, Chief of Staff in the Minister's office, and then Sia Koza. And lastly, Mr. Sile Mtiane, who's head or leading our strategy team. Thank you, Minister.
Yeah, I thought with your permission, Chairperson, the DG must go on to present the report on behalf of the department.
Yes, correct. DG, you can proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair. So the presentation to the Portfolio Committee, this is the presentation outline. Thanks, Mr. Adam. Briefly, we'll touch on the vision, mission, and value statement, and then our outcomes and strategic objectives for the next 5 years, and then how have we performed during quarter four, and then there are those targets that we're not able to attain during quarter four. We'll reflect on that, and then we'll explain also the our budget versus the expenditure as at the end of the financial year, and then we'll look at recommendations and the way forward. You can move to the next slide, Mr. Adams. So just to recap on the vision, mission, and values of the department, we'll want a South Africa where identity, status, and citizenship are key enablers of citizen empowerment and inclusivity, economic development, and national security. In terms of our mission, we've indicated that the DHA carries out its mission in line with its commitment to citizen empowerment and inclusivity, economic development and national security. How do we do this? We do this by ensuring that we have an efficient and secure custodian of citizenship and civil registration, by ensuring that we manage strategically and ensure that we secure international immigration or manage international migration. We also ensure that we manage the asylum seeker and refugee process efficiently, and also to ensure that we efficiently determine and safeguard the official identity and the status of persons. And those are just the values of the department in terms of the reminder. We committed to being people-centered and caring, patriotic, professional, and also to show leadership. We want to ensure that we have an effective, efficient, and innovative department. A department that has the ethical and having integrity, and also we should always be security conscious, and mostly, most importantly, development orientated. Can move to the next slide. So over the next 5 years, the department has identified the following outcomes. The first one, as we've said, is to ensure that we secure the management of international migration, which we believe will result in South Africa's interests being served, and we'll also fulfill international commitments. Secondly, we'll want to ensure that we secure the efficient management of citizenship and civil registration to fulfill constitutional and international obligations. The third one speaks to an efficient asylum seeker and refugee system in compliance, not only with the domestic, but also international obligations. And the fourth one is to ensure that we secure our population register so that we are able to empower citizens, enable inclusivity, economic development, and national security. And lastly, we want to ensure that Home Affairs is positioned to contribute positively to a capable and developmental state. So how have we performed in quarter four in terms of our annual performance plan for 2020-21? In this quarter, or in the period under review, were the 27 APP targets that were planned for quarter four, of which 17 targets were achieved. That translated to 63% chairperson, and then 10 targets were not achieved, translating to 37%. So that chart demonstrate this achievement in terms of the percentages, what we were able to achieve and what we were not able to achieve for the period January to the 31st of March 2021 in terms of that pie chart. Thank you. And then the performance per program, starting with the review, we're able to attain 73% of our targets, and then we'll explain why we're not able to achieve the 27%. And then program two, civics, performed at 83%, and they were unable to attain 70% of their targets. And then program three, immigration, as we do know, that largely depends on the free borders, including the partnerships and how we relate with our neighbors. So we're able to achieve only 40%, and there's 60% that was not achieved. And just a reminder to the committee that those targets include targets of the BMA. If we can move forward. So how then do we compare if 2019, 2020, and 2021? You will note that below on that demonstration on the graph, and we were not able to achieve 36% of the target. And then in the
recording in progress
in both quarters, and where we would have regressed as the arrow will point downwards. So if we were to look at civic services, they planned to six targets for that quarter three, and then they were able to achieve four, translating to 67%. Two targets were not achieved. If we were to look at the quarter four performance, that six targets that were planned, that they were able to achieve five, only one target was not achieved. So that's an upward movement in terms of their performance. Immigration services, they planned six targets in quarter three and were able to achieve only four. And if you were to look at quarter four, they planned six and were able to attain three. So there's the regression from immigration. And then the BMA, they had planned three targets in quarter three and were able to attain two. If we were to look at the same for quarter four, planned four and then only attained one. That's another regression. And then information systems, in quarter three, they planned three and then were able to achieve one. And then in quarter four, again, there's that regression. They had planned two targets and was not able to attain any of those. And then institutional planning and support, they planned five and were able to achieve one, and four were not achieved. And if we were to look at how that program was able to drastically work harder in quarter four, they planned five targets and were able to achieve four of those. Only one target was not achieved. I think I've spoken about counter-corruption, how they consistently perform above what is really required. If we can move to the next one. So we'll now, Chair, go through the targets in terms of how we've performed throughout. And I'll start with the one where we had committed that in quarter four, we'll want to ensure that the BMCS is partially or is rolled out. The target was to two sites, 70% of our counters at each airport. And we were not able to achieve this target during the period under review. And the reasons, Chair, if you also, I'll come back to the second one on the asylum seeker and refugee system. On the BMCS, I think they caused that disruption again to the global supply chain processes. And even though we wanted to procure, it was a bit difficult, or there were delays in terms of the procurement process. But secondly, there were also bugs that were detected in the pilots, and those had to be cleaned up before we could then attend to some of the procurement issues with regards to the BMCS. On the service provider that we had wanted to contract to develop the asylum seeker and refugee system, this bid was advertised through CETA, and therefore it could not be finalized in quarter four. And this speaks to some of the dependencies that we still have on an institution such as CETA. In this instance, we picked up that there was non-compliance to the SCM processes or policies in the appointment of the bid specification committee members. And we were of the view that this will have a negative impact on the evaluation process. And as a result of that, the department requested the cancellation whether we can tap into some of the indirect agreements that are there. For example, SARS, we do have an agreement with SARS around some of these activities. So we'll want to tap into some of those activities. If we can move to the next slide, Mr. Adams. To Minister for approval for submission to Cabinet, but
recording in progress.
This was tabling the bill at Expo. We then directed that they should continue with consultation with the National School of Government, because there's aspects that relate to training which fall within the mandate of the National School of Government. This is with reference to the establishment of the DHA College that the committee is familiar with. And therefore, we were not able to achieve that target also because the second part was that we also requested the team for submitting bills to Cabinet. I'm happy to report, Chair, that we've since received concurrence from the National School of Government with regards to the establishment of the the opinion from the state attorney's office. As we have indicated, that the target has been moved to this current financial year, and we hope that we'll be able to finalize this bill in this financial year. If we can move to the next one. And then on the concept document that we have committed that we will develop for the implementation project plan on the revised service delivery model, we were able to achieve this target, the concept document, which included an implementation plan for the development of the service delivery model, was approved by the DG. And again, the team under the IPS did quite well in terms of ensuring that we do finalize the service delivery model, because it's quite important in terms of how we deliver our services. So linked to that, in quarter four, we also committed that the revised access model will be approved by the minister. And also I'm happy to report to the committee that we were able to achieve this target. The DHA hybrid access model was approved by the minister. And the understanding was that we will then further develop some aspects of the model in the 2021-22 financial year. This is the current one, to incorporate some of the issues raised by the minister with regards to ensuring that not only do we increase our footprint, but also we ensure that we continue to provide efficient access of our services to citizens in the Republic. So we can move to the next slide. Again, on administration, for quarter four, we had planned that we will have 4 media engagements, 2 is in Bizo. This is where we go. Activities of the Department of Home Affairs. In quarter four, we had also planned that we'll have 1 business process evaluated. A report was supposed to be submitted to the DG for consideration, in particular on death. Chair, we're also able to achieve this target. 1 business process was evaluated and the report was provided to the DG for consideration. Again, we did quite well on this one. The third one is really around 50% of reported cases on fraud and corruption that were supposed to be finalized within 90 working days, and that's missing there, by the team at Counter Corruption. They continue to do quite well, and they were able to exceed that target by 7.4%. So those are the reported cases that were investigated. They were finalized within the prescribed 90 working days. Similarly, Chair, Counter Corruption has planned that in quarter four, there will be 9 threats and risk assessments conducted in accordance with the requirements of the minimum information security standards, or what is briefly known as the MIS, or the minimum physical security standard, the MPSS. That target was achieved again. Counter corruption achieved that target by more than 11. TRAs were conducted in accordance with the requirements of the MIS and the MPSS. So this slide just demonstrates that despite some of the challenges that we face, the department continues to work harder to achieve what it has committed to in the annual performance plan. If we can move to the next target, Mr. Adam. And then in quarter four, Counter Corruption had also committed that there will be 150 vetting files referred to the State Security Agency for evaluation. They were able to achieve that by more than 64. So 214 vetting files were referred to State Security Agency for evaluation, translating to them achieving that target in the period under review. We'll now focus on civic services. In quarter four, which was a bit difficult, to be honest, for a program like civic services because of the footprint into the offices and also the number of people that visit our offices. We're committed in quarter four that we'll register 202,500 births within 30 days. The team was able to overachieve that target by more than 17,000, which means that more than 17,000 births were registered within 30 days, translating to 219,428 births that were registered. Again, it's important to highlight that during this period, we really worked quite hard to ensure that the innovation that has been developed around hospital connectivity works to our favor. In partnership with the Department of Health, we were able to register those births at the hospitals, the majority of them. And then in quarter four, Chair, we also committed that we will issue 258,720 smart cards to citizens 16 years of age and above. I'm also happy to indicate, Chair, that we were also able to achieve this target by quite a huge margin, 460. So clients that were coming to receive these services in terms of the COVID-19 regulations, applying social distancing protocols, sanitizing all the clients that were coming to our offices, and also ensuring that everyone who was coming to the office is scanned for their temperature. Similarly, civic services had committed that they will ensure that 90% of adult passports are issued within 13 working days through this new life capture system for adults issued within 13 working days for applications collected and processed within the Republic of South Africa. Again, the colleagues were able to achieve this target by more than 8.77%, which means they achieved 98.77% of machine-readable passports, which is quite important. For adults, were issued within 13 working days for passport applications collected and also processed within the Republic of South Africa. So Civics has done quite well. This is the only target that Civic Services was not able to achieve on the draft marriage policy, which was supposed to be gazetted for public comments. And the reasons were that we were then advised to go and seek further public consultations, which we did, as the committee is now familiar with the amount of interest that was there in around this policy when we went out for further public consultations. And this target was rolled over to the new financial year. And we are of the view that the processes that we've followed now have enriched or has enriched the document to a large extent. It will then be sent through the normal processes. We can move to the next slide. In the same quarter, Civic Services had committed that they will ensure that the draft citizenship policy discussion paper is submitted to Minister for approval. Again, Chair, we were able to achieve this target. This draft citizen policy was submitted to Minister for consideration and approval on the 29th of March 2021. In quarter four, Civic Services also committed that they will ensure that they put through the draft civil registration policy discussion document submitted to Minister for approval. That was done, so Civic Services was able to achieve this draft civil registration policy by ensuring that it's submitted to Minister for approval before or on 29 March 2021. So that then concludes what we're able to do under Civics. And then in terms of immigration, in quarter four, immigration has committed that this draft international migration policy discussion paper will be submitted to the Minister for approval. Again, Chair, we were able to achieve this target. The draft international migration policy discussion paper was submitted to Minister for approval in March 2021. Again, well done to the team. And then we also committed that they will ensure that the draft refugee protection policy discussion paper is submitted to Minister for approval. That was also done. This target was also achieved. And then the colleagues also committed that they will conduct 60 law enforcement operations or inspections to ensure to do 120 law enforcement operations and / inspections that were conducted by the team from law enforcement operations. Now, in quarter four, I think the minister spoke at length with regards to these targets that we were not able to achieve, in the main related to permanent residence applications. That are supposed to be adjudicated within 8 months for applications collected within the public. And you will note, Chair, that there's various levels in terms of how we were supposed to perform during the pandemic. So we're not able to achieve this target because a lot of services had been suspended. But in the May, Chair, you'll recall that the traveling in most instances was not there, and the traveling because it was banned. Therefore, VFS could not take some of these applications because there was no business to operate under those challenges. And the chair will also recall that there were also travel restrictions imposed by a whole lot of countries, and the only travel that was or the only activity that was allowed was mainly, as Mr. Mathis says, was for sustainable services, issues such as banks and so on and so forth. So those are some of the reasons why we're not able to achieve that target, because the applications were therefore not received to adjudicate, and as a result, some of those services, as ministers indicated, were then suspended. So if we can move to the next target. Similarly, here in quarter four, we've committed that we will adjudicate 90% of business and general work visas within 8 weeks for applications that are received, and the business unit could only finalize a few applications. As you know now, that we only started returning to the office during lockdown level 3. And as a result, we also had to observe the COVID-19 health and safety requirements and social distancing, which necessitated officials to work on a rotational basis because the office space had to be demarcated to ensure that there's compliance with regards to that. This target has been rolled over to the new financial year, Chair. We can move to the next one. In quarter four, again, immigration had committed that 85% of critical skill visas will be adjudicated within 4 weeks for applications processed. Again, we're not able to attain that target. Out of 1,550, we're able to finalize 779 due to the closure of offices, as we indicated at the beginning, that in most instances, offices are closed if there's a positive case. We have to ensure that there's a decontamination that happens immediately, and also that the officials need to continue to observe social distancing, which means you now have lesser capacity in the office that's doing this work. This target has also been moved to the this financial year. We can move to the next one. I think on the BMA, the quarter four target was to ensure that the BMA is incrementally rolled out at 2 ports of entry, 3 lane borderline segments, and 1 community crossing point. We're not able to attain that target, as we now know that the BMA Act had first to come into force. through the commencement of the proclamation before the establishment and also the rollout of the BMA. The committee is now familiar with the fact that the President has signed the BMA commencement proclamation in December 2020, and that there's a process that's underway now with regards the appointment of a commissioner for the BMA and deputy commissioners for the BMA. The minister can speak at length with regards to this process. In addition, there were those relevant border law enforcement functions which are supposed to be executed by the BMA, which still needs to be transferred to the Minister of Home Affairs through Section 97 Presidential Proclamation. The acting commissioner for the BMA can speak in detail with regards to some of these activities. So we're not able to achieve this target during the period under review. However, we're picking up traction on some of the activities that are related to the BMA. We can move to the next one. Again, related to the BMA, in quarter four, we had hoped that we will implement protocols between the National Targeting Center and relevant organs of state. We're not able to achieve, we have not finalized this work. I do know that tomorrow we have a meeting with the accounting officers from other government departments that will be looking at some of these aspects that are envisaged in terms of the BMA, so that we now work towards finalizing the National Targeting Center's implementation protocols with relevant organs of state. If we can move to the next slide. This one we've reported previously to the Portfolio Committee. We had hoped that by quarter four, we would have finalized this multiple preferred bidders who have appointed, some of them for the redevelopment of six land ports of entry. We have come before the committee previously to indicate that some of the companies that had placed in bids or had submitted bids for this work, along the way, they were liquidated and as a result could therefore no longer participate. Therefore, we had to restart this process. We did restart the process, working with the Treasury and the forwarded a project transaction advisor to assist us with regards to this. And therefore, we are now back on track. We were informed sometimes last week that the new Minister of Finance has now approved the public participation process with regards to a public-private partnership process with regards to this process, which means quite soon we'll be going out to the market to request for proposals with regards to this target. If we can move to the next one. In quarter four, again, we had hoped that we'll finalize the OSBP policy gazetted for public comments. Indeed, we were able to achieve that target. There were three activities that were actually undertaken. The OSBP policy was gazetted on the 31st of December 2020, and then there was a ministerial workshop attended by all stakeholders, which was held on the 1st of March 2021. And then the OSBP policy was then presented to NEDLAC on the 22nd of March 2021. So that target was attained, Chair. We can move to the next slide that basically provides an analysis of why some of the targets were not achieved. I think as we have said in the introduction, both by the Minister, that there was no population for permanent residence applications that was to be adjudicated because only temporary residence visas applications were being accepted. We currently are trying to deal with the backlog, the previous backlog that accumulated, and we're working quite hard to ensure that we clear that backlog. Towards that extent, we've also established a team just to deal with this backlog that's currently there. We have received a lot of queries from members of parliament with regards to this, and we are attending to them. However, it's something that will take us a bit of time to clear up before we open this area. The second one is we had to implement and ensure that all offices observe the COVID-19 health and safety protocols, which amongst others requires us to ensure that the social distancing, this therefore necessitated officials to work, as I said, on a rotational basis. And similarly, both front and back office offices were not functioning at 100% staff complement, and staff members could not be substituted due to capacity challenges. I think we now know that we have been limited in terms of the COE budget, and as a result, we could not function fully in those services. And then there was also limited access to the department offices, and as a result of those health facilities to be, and health facilities due to COVID-19 cases, it's something that I indicated at the beginning. And then we also had to remove the marriage policy from the JCS, JCPS cluster meeting that was scheduled for February due to the delayed submission, as I indicated in terms of the reasons. And then there was also delays in the submission of the DHA bill to the minister and incomplete consultations with the School of Government regarding the DHA college. We've since made a lot of progress with regards to this work. And then there were delays in finalization of the procurement process by relevant business units, and also the dependencies that we've highlighted that we have on CETA. And then the continued loss of staff and inability to fill vacancies due to the insufficient COE budget. If we can move to the next slide. So I'll then hand over to the CFO to speak to issues around financial information. And it's mainly four activities. One, you will note, Chair, in terms of our budget versus the expenditure, there are certain areas where, for example, in immigration, we would have spent the funding allocated for immigration, despite the fact that I've highlighted that some of the targets were not achieved. And this is mainly as a result of probably about five activities. The first one is the overtime for officials. This committee will be familiar. In fact, you visited us both in Lebombo and also Bite Bridge for the patrols that our teams, for the first time, the immigration teams that worked with the SANDF to patrol the borderline. We had deployed about 60 officials, and all of them, because of these challenges from the COE, we had to pay them overtime for that period. They were then deployed in Lebombo, Maseru, Bite Bridge, and also the smaller ports of entry. So that's one of the drivers for the immigration budget. The second one speaks to the law enforcement operations that I spoke to, where you'll note that they overachieved because they work with other stakeholders to ensure that they are part of those activities. For example, in Gauteng, there's Operation Mukai Mulao, and the law enforcement teams participated in all those activities, including the other duties that are allocated to them. Then the other area that I want to emphasize is really around the costs of deportations, Chair. This is quite an expensive exercise. This committee will be familiar with the fact that at some point earlier this year, we had to deport some of the ringleaders from the protest that was outside the church in Cape Town, Alina Bakuru and Papi Sakumi to the DRC. Just that charter plane to some of those areas costed us more than 500,000, seated a half a million rand. So you can imagine if the trip is even further, because that needs to include a lending rights in those countries. And then the other area that is the cost driver is, of course, the foreign missions in terms of the cost that we have to pay for the accommodation of some of our staff members, the day allowance, and also the relief officials that are sent in case some officials are sick or they have to come back home due to emergencies. And then the other area, as CFO was reminding me yesterday, is also the payment that we have to make for the advanced passenger processing system, which is paid in Of course, it's about a million US dollars. Of course, we have to ensure that we adhere to some of those obligations in terms of global commitments, but also international security. And then, of course, it will be the salaries that we pay for immigration officials. I think this committee will be familiar with the fact that all our ports of entry are open throughout the year, and some operate 24 hours. I just thought it's important that I highlight this point before the CFO takes over the presentation. The second area will be around the spending that we have to incur with regards to COVID-19, ensuring that we continue to provide a PPE to our employees, and ensure that the sanitizers, to ensure that there's masks outside the offices, to ensure that the social distancing inside and outside, and the CFO can speak to the impact of the pandemic on the self-financing expenditure and how it also impacted in terms of the revenue that we're able to collect during the period under review. Through you, Chair, if I can then hand over to the Chief Financial Officer. Thank you.
So thank you, DG, for your detailed brief. CFO?
Chairperson, good morning. And also good morning to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the Honourable Members, the DG and my colleagues. Chairperson, these are the figures presented to the Auditor General for auditing at the 31st of March. There are four components, as DG has highlighted, so I'm not going to go back to that. If we look at this slide, Chairperson, you will see that we did not spend our full allocation for 2021. Chairperson, our expenditure as at the end of the financial year stands at 96.4%. We could not spend 317 more, Chairperson. The reason for not being able to spend that 317 more, Chairperson, is set down at the bottom there. It's basically two things. It's a direct result of a compensation of employees. The wage negotiations, where there was a provision made for implementation of the wage negotiations, which didn't materialize in that year, as well as the under-collection on revenue, which then limits the amount of self-financing expenditure we can incur. Chairperson, so just at a highlight, at a high level then, our budget was cut to 8.7 billion for 2021. We spent 8.4 billion rands, and we didn't spend 317 more. If I can then ask that we move to the next slide. Chairperson, here you can also see the areas, the economic classifications where we did not spend the full allocations. On compensation of employees, we didn't spend 63 million rands. As I said, Chairperson, if you make provision for the 1% wage increments, over 1.5%, then we would have been short. But at this point in time, we couldn't spend the 63 more. Chairperson, on the goods and services, the 263 mil is basically for self-financing expenditure, which we didn't collect the revenue. Now, Chairperson, our self-financing expenditure is limited to the amount of revenue we collect, and I'll come back to that issue later on, Chairperson. Chairperson, the 10 million rands payment for financial assets, that 10 million with a variance there, is for debts written off. Chairperson, we only write debts off when we have budget available. So we do not make a budget provision for the writing off of debts. So that's why there was no budget allocation for that last line item. Chairperson, if I can ask that we move to the next slide. This is just giving more detail at program level. The first program is administration. Chairperson, is again, so if it's the budget for program one is 2.2 billion. We spent 2.204, 58 million rands not spent, and most of that is under corporate services. Chairperson, as I said, it's compensation of employees as well as self-financing. Those two issues, again, that will be a recurring theme, Chair. Chairperson, slide number 33, it's Citizen Affairs Program 2. Chairperson, this is where the bulk of the status services, the bulk of that money is for self-financing. Chairperson, perhaps I should just remind members that self-financing is used predominantly to pay GPW for the printing of passports and IDs, for cash in transit services, for security services, banking fees, and such things. So it's all related to the cost of developing or producing enabling documents. We sell the products, we sell the passports and IDs, and that's our revenue. And our treasury has given us this facility, and but the facility is limited to the extent that you must first collect the revenue before you can spend the money, Chair. Jefferson, thank you. So I'm going to move into slide 34, where DJ has already spoken on immigration affairs. You'll see that immigration affairs looked as though they spent well. They spent at 99.2% for the reasons advanced by DG. Jefferson, the difference there is the 10 million rands in the immigration affairs management. So, Jefferson, it was possible to spend these allocations for the reasons DG has already advanced. If I can then ask that we move to slide number 35. Jefferson, this is our COVID budget. We had a budget of 33 million rands for COVID. Of that budget, we spent 84%. So we spent 28 million rands of the 33 million rands. 5 million rands was still available. Jefferson, we have made allocations in the past financial year to every province so that provinces are able to procure their own PPEs. At head office, we also have a provision that money lies under finance and supply chain, where we then buy for the head office components. Immigration affairs fair allocation is basically for the ports of entry. Jefferson, we have had audits done on the expenditure, and I believe the audits are a fair reflection or indicates that our processes and systems are fair or adequate. It's not perfect. There were some issues, but the money was well spent, Jefferson. Thank you, and it's for the PPEs to keep our staff members safe. Jefferson, the next slide is slide 36. Just deals with self-financing. Jefferson, here you'll notice that we have spent 364 million rands on self-financing. The revenue we collected here, and that will be the next slide, is total revenue is 360 mil. So if you look at the 360 mil in revenue which we collected versus the expenditure, it's closely aligned. There's no issue of unauthorized or irregular expenditure in this regard. Jefferson, the 256 million in the available column is actually not really available because we did not collect that money. So if we did succeed in collecting that 256 million rands, our expenditure would have been higher because obviously then we would have paid GPW, who would then have invoiced us for producing more passports and IDs. But because of the lockdown levels, clearly everybody was affected, Chair, so it impacted on us as well as GPW. Jefferson, the last slide, 37, just deals with the revenue collected. So, Jefferson, this slide, the 305, is local revenue only. The revenue collected by Durka on behalf of the department was an additional 45.
recording
issues
in progress.
That you raised in terms of your plan moving forward. I'm going to invite the members to interact with this report, and I want to welcome Honorable Hendricks. I've noted that he has joined our meeting. You are welcome, Honorable Hendricks. If you want to comment, you will be allowed. I'm going to start with Honorable Mulekwa, and then come to Honorable Koche, Lizelle, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Dito, Honorable Ross, and Honorable Pillay. I hope I did not, in that order. And then Honorable Hendricks will come just after Honorable Ross.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation as presented by the department. Chairperson, we also note that there are programs that were not achieved by the department. However, we appreciate where the department has been able to register progress insofar as other programs are concerned. We do understand, Chairperson, that there were reasons behind why the department was unable to achieve other programs, as it has shown in the presentation, that there were incidents where there was a regress registered by the department. But however, Chairperson, we appreciate all the efforts by the department on issues or programs that have been achieved by the department. We also want to encourage the department to strive towards achieving all the programs that were not achieved. And we also know that, Chairperson, at least, as you have already indicated, that at least there is a plan in place in order to achieve those programs that were not achieved. We really appreciate the action plan that has been presented. We welcome the report, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your contribution, Honorable Mulekwa. Co-chair, then. Honorable Lizelle, co-chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the DT for the presentation. And I think I would like to agree with you, Chairperson, that when it comes to some of the targets that were not achieved, that we would need a turnaround plan for those. So I just wanted to add my voice to that to say that I think that's a good proposal on your side. Chairperson, then I think also it's good to hear from the DG, and he said on quite a few occasions that the counter-corruption unit is consistently achieving above what it is required of them or what is required of them. And I think, you know, that is good news, and I'm looking forward to the presentation that we will receive hopefully in this term from the or from the counter-corruption. For example, the perception out there is that Home Affairs continues to struggle with corruption issues. For example, during this period of oversight, you know, one is confronted with stories, for example, that at Baybridge, Home Affairs officials prefer to process people without the requisite documents or illegal migrants or undocumented migrants. And that they would prefer those people to come through the border because at the end of the day, you know, it means a bribe for them. So therefore, you know, it's good to hear that this corruption, anti-corruption unit is actually making progress in this regard. And therefore, I think we look forward to receiving the progress as the DG has stated. But with regards to the immigration, some of the targets that were not met with regards to the immigration services, I would like to ask, with regard to the asylum seeker and refugee system, by when do you think, by when do we think we will be able to source a service provider? If we do think we've got timeframes in this regard. And I think the department must clarify what it means by extend the engagement with the current service providers. It was in that slide. Because, you know, at this stage, there is no system, so I don't know what they mean with, you know, extending the engagement with current service providers. I did hear the SG, after DG, speaking about tapping into the services of SARS, and I just needed to get clarity there as well. And with regards to the non-compliance with supply chain management policies, was this on CETA's side or on Home Affairs' side? If we can just get clarity on that regard as well. And then with regards to immigration affairs and, you know, spending 99% of your budget but not achieving all the targets, of course, one did hear the explanation in terms of paying overtime and the inspections that have been done and also the expenses relating to deportation issues. But I would like to know, why is it that we cannot recoup the monies? And we did cite the example of the DRC and the plane that we chartered for 500,000 rand. But why is it that we cannot recoup the monies from the countries of origin? And we did have a discussion about this in a previous meeting that we were going to engage with various ambassadors in South Africa or embassies or missions here. But surely, you know, citizens or, you know, citizens of other countries come and they break our immigration laws, then surely we should be able to deport them and recover that money from the country of origin. Why have we made no progress in this regard? And also, and there was a mention by the DG about the ringleaders of the Cape Town protest. And I just wanted to say, Chairperson, that I went past the Wingfield Tented Camp yesterday, and I see that things are as they were when we visited there last. So I just wanted to also ask what progress has been made in this fourth quarter in terms of dealing with those people who are still housed at the Maitland and Wingfield centres. And then slide 20, again on the immigration affairs, I think we need to give credit where credit is due in terms of the overachievement of law enforcement operations and inspections conducted. But, you know, for me, there's really a disjuncture again, DG, I'm sorry that I've got to mention that again. There's a disjuncture between what is presented to us here in the slides and what is actually happening on the ground. For example, we always get this presentation which says you're doing the inspections and it's a great success. But generally on the ground, people are telling us, for example, I did speak to you when the Department of Social Development went on an oversight visit to Gauteng and Northwest. And in each and every community that we came, people were complaining about the strain of undocumented migrants in their communities, especially undocumented children from illegal foreign nationals. And this was on an oversight visit with Social Development. And they were held because we cannot oversell what they actually translate into.
Recording in progress.
And trafficking and general illegal activities. Are these inspections happening, for example, in your trucking industry, your restaurant industry, your e-hailing industry? We're unable to oversight this without the requisite information. So if that can be given to us, I would be most grateful. I think the problems with CETA remain, and the fact that CETA is not able to provide a service that you require is really taking away. Sabotaging Home Affairs, and I think we are meeting with them next week, so hopefully we can deal with that. And finally, Chairperson, my concern is around the incremental rollout of the Border Management Authority. I really feel that we are moving at a snail's pace. More worrying was the slide that says that a steering committee is required to lead the establishment of the National Targeting Centre. However, This committee could not be established due to little feedback received in response to the request for relevant departments to nominate senior officials to serve on this committee. Now, for me, that just speaks to what we have said before, seems to be a lack of political will to make the BMA work. And I wonder whether this issue has been flagged with Cabinet or Presidency or anybody that can actually hold to account these various departments that are not working or giving their assistance to our departments in terms of rolling out the BMA as effectively and as speedily as we would want to. And then finally, I wasn't sure that one slide speaks about the deputy commissioners. Have they been appointed, or what are the time frames for the appointments of the deputy commissioners? Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Honourable, for your contribution. Thank you, Co-Chair, for your contributions and questions. Honourable Kanyile. Nandipa. Thank you. Honourable Kanyile, you can proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and greetings to the Minister, Deputy, and the Department. We'd like to welcome the report that was presented before us and commend all the targets that the Department managed to achieve in the quota that they were reporting on. I do have a few questions, though. The one slide that was talking to 466, 499 smart card issued, I just need a clarity on this one, on whether these smart cards were printed and collected, or they were only printed. And also, I'd like to find out if there is a way that the department can also be able to set targets for the late birth registration, the unabridged birth, and marriage certificates. Because at the moment, we are sitting with a huge backlog of this documentation, and I'd like to appreciate the intervention of the Minister and the DG and Mr. Sigama. They are really assisting us a lot, but at the same time, I definitely feel like I am working as an extended arm of administration, considering the amount of administration or queries that I'm getting from members of the public. You find that members of the public, they've applied for the UPC or UMC for about since 2018, and up until now, they have not been resolved. This is only through this intervention that they get resolved. So what I would like to know is that, is it possible for the department to set targets on these issues so that they can ensure that they deal with the backlog? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. Quite impressive. The cooperation between yourself and in assisting the department. Thanks for your contribution. Honorable Tito.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to everyone who is present here today. Chair, I have only two questions that I'm going to ask. I want to ask again the Minister, is there any plans on procuring more mobile trucks, especially right now, when you guys went for oversight, you have seen how the officers of the Home Affairs have been vandalized and all the looting. I think that if we have more mobile trucks, they can help us in terms of curbing those things. And then my other question, Chair, will be on the Department of Home Affairs about the establishment of the college. You were talking about the delays. Can you tell us when will the consultation with the National School of Government be concluded? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tito. I see Honorable Hendrik. You have raised the hand.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, thank you very much for your warm welcome. Honorable Chair, you know, it's amazing the energy that our minister has, you know, in fast-tracking everything in his department over the last few months. However, the minister has jumped the gun when it came to the green paper. They didn't wait for the research report of the South African Law Reform Commission, and which report is not finalized yet. Yet drew up a green paper, but I suppose there must have been some pressure from the cabinet to submit the green paper. So the green paper doesn't have the wisdom of the latest research findings of the South African Law Reform Commission, which must have spent about 50 million rand on their report. But I'm sure that that will be taken into account later on. The issue I want to raise is that in December, there was a Supreme Court of Appeal judgment that the that government bring about a Muslim marriages bill by November 2022. And we heard that the policy on marriages will only be ready by then, which obviously means that the department will miss a deadline and will be non-compliant with the rule of law. So we're very happy that the minister again has shown some initiative and asked the spokesperson to engage with us on a radio program where we are looking at how to resolve this dilemma of the department in that they will be in pursuing the new One Statute Marriage Act, which will be ready in 2024 or 2025, that they will be in non-compliance with the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment. And the minister showed some interest in the private members' bill, which we've submitted to the Chair of Chairs at the request of the acting speaker because of the six-month rule that when there are court orders, that it must be acted upon within 6 months, and that 6 months has expired. I just hope that I've put some questions on the chat to the Director General, and maybe the Minister has also seen sight of it. But we would like to know, the way forward as far as this matter is concerned, because it harms the dignity of Muslim women, and this is Women's Month. And we as a political party felt that we need to do something for our constituency during this month, and some positive response from the department and the minister will be appreciated. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hendricks, for your contributions and the questions. Honourable Ross.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the minister and the department for the presentation. Firstly, allow me to convey sincere condolences to the families and loved ones of the 7 Home Affairs officials who lost their lives to COVID-19. And then a welcome to the new CIO, Mr. Mabasa. We have been crying out for you, and we really wish you well. I'd like to start with the strategy and outcomes. Sometimes we skip those slides, and particularly the item on securing, having a secure population register. And it's something we saw in the very beginning of this term, when we went to visit, I think it was the BDR building, and we saw birth records that were lying in piles and in bundles in a basement somewhere there. And my understanding was that there were other such repositories of these documents. And when somebody applies for a bulk copy, then somebody needs to go there and search for the document, take it out, put it on the population register before they can print a birth certificate. So my question with this is, where are we with this project on digitizing these records? And then is it true that some of these facilities are so run down that the Home Affairs officials are too scared to go in there and get the documents? Because what we see is that with the requests for these vault copies and birth certificates of older people, there's often a request that comes back to say, please fill in a late registration of birth form. And basically that document is recreated. So I just want to get an understanding of where we are with that. With these original birth records, are all the facilities operational? Are staff able to go into these facilities and get these documents? And then what is the process on the digitization of these? Then in terms of the administration,
We'd like to welcome the arrival of the accessibility model. And I'd like to ask that this be distributed to the committee so that we can see this plan, so that we can scrutinize it and try and understand it. But for now, I'd just like to ask whether it includes plans for having Home Affairs offices in shopping centers and whether there will be an increase of mobile units. Is that part of this plan? And then on the issue of procurement, that was raised by Honorable Funamadiba as well. What consequence management measures have been taken? I mean, this is not the first time that we've seen botched procurement processes stopping critical projects. And Chairperson, we, you know, we can't just leave it. We can't just say, okay, we're going to leave CETA and go somewhere else. If we need to fix it. We need, there needs to be consequence management. The question's been asked. Whose fault is it? Is there fault on the CETA side? Is there fault on the Home Affairs side? And as we saw with ABUS, often there's some fault on both sides. And so we can't just leave it, we must fix it. And my question is, what consequence management measures have been taken? Seems as the botch-ups in procurement have stalled these projects. Then from a civic services point of view, a big congratulations to the department on achieving the targets for birth registration, smart IDs and passports. And this really shows what is possible with the sufficient motivation of a year-end push. What worries us is that there's no target on the war of queues here. And this project was launched in 2018, and it's a critical project. So, for example, we have a plan now for the system of downtime where there are 32 items that Home Affairs needs to sort out. But to my mind, this could be a measure whereby we can measure this the progress on this. And so my question is, in terms of the war on queues, how is the department measuring progress on this? Because we need to bear in mind that, you know, the system offline issue, CETA hosts the system, the database, the software system that gets access from offices. And they host it on the lowest service level agreement available, so that the bronze service level agreement. And it's been shown in the report to this committee that CETA over-delivers on that SLA. Then we have a Home Affairs network, and the network is not... It's not a managed network, it's owned by the Department of Home Affairs. And then you have Telkom, which runs the last mile. So when we went to the Edenvale Home Affairs offices, it was last week or the week before, we saw that actually a measure to overcome this problem, where there was cable theft involved, was to put in a mobile provider's Wi-Fi. And that allowed that office to hook up to the system. So my question is, why do we not have that kind of a backup or failover in all the major offices so that we can avoid issues with the Department of Home Affairs' network as well as the any issues with the last mile? And then my other question in this regard is, you know, the annual report talks about the network upgrade that is going to solve the problems in these queues. Where are we with this? Because my understanding is that there was going to be work on this network and that there would be redundancy involved, which means that if one line goes down, another line picks it up. And you would have imagined that by now, with this project being at least over a year, that you would start to see some drastic improvement in certain places, because surely it doesn't all just get switched on at once. So where are we with this project? Then in terms of being on Saturdays, we've discussed this before, and the feedback was that there was an imminent meeting with the unions. So in the current state, how are matric learners expected to get their IDs if they're at school on weekdays? There doesn't seem to be any urgency on this issue. And particularly now, we have half the people sitting at home because of COVID-19, because of restrictions. And this is the perfect time for those persons to work on a Saturday, only being required to work one extra day. So I'd like to understand what is going on with this. What is going on with these discussions to reopen on Saturday so that persons that cannot get there during the week can get access to their documents? Then wrapping it up in terms of immigration services, you know, I note that there were 120 law enforcement operations in Q4, which is pretty much double of the norm. And we have an annual target of 200. So what this tells you is that, you know, theoretically you should be able to do over 400, even though we have a target of 200. And my question is whether the, you know, the known issues of vulva sprites in Chwane and the regathering of foreign nationals outside the UNHCR in Brooklyn were part of these law enforcement operations. And what is your criteria for undertaking a law enforcement operation? Because my understanding is that in these areas there has been no such law enforcement operation, even though it's known, there's prima facie evidence of undocumented migrants that are in these places. Business and critical skills visas, dramatically underachieved, unfortunately. And yet civic services are dramatically overachieved. So what explains this imbalance? I mean, how is it being addressed? Because at this point in time, with the economic impact of COVID, it's critical that we do not miss opportunities. You know, critical skills visas, persons that come in and they have the skills that creates jobs, business trips. How is it being addressed? And then in terms of the BNMA, I agree 100% with Honourable Panamera. And we need this presentation on the project plan and funding, because this is going nowhere. And I think it's, you have the minister talking about our porous borders and what a massive headache and problem it is. And then you see that the BMA, there's a to-ing and fro-ing about some document that's somewhere, and there really doesn't appear to be any urgency at all. It doesn't match up with the stated urgency to solve this problem. And then finally, just a more technical question to Mr. Hollenby. On the self-financing expenditure, the counter-corruption and security item, what is the reason for only spending 39.7% of that budget? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross, for your contributions and questions. Can I invite Honorable Pile?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start off at the outset by saying that COVID was not a risk that was previously identified, and hence it was difficult to mitigate against this risk. And I think that we all need to accept and understand that not just as a country, but as a world, it's something that we all have to start dealing with. However, a year later, COVID is with us, and we are able to find ways to work within these challenges and constraints. And for that reason, I think it's important for us to commend the department and congratulate them, particularly the officials under the leadership of the DG, as well as the leadership of the minister and the DM. And I'm saying this, Chairperson, particularly because while there are underachievements in some of the different programs, what is clear is that there has been overachievement. And let's take, for example, the civic services. I must commend them and congratulate them because this is actually where it matters most in the department, because this is talking about service delivery and providing services to our community. The fact that they were able to overachieve birth registrations within 30 days is highly commendable. The smart cards, if you look at that, it was almost doubled. They've actually overachieved double. And I'm just wondering whether this may have contributed, well, the mobile units may have contributed largely to an increase in the number of smart cards that were applications that were done and possibly even issued. And this is important because this is our 16 years and older, and this is the first time ID application, so it's important for us to commend that achievement. Again, with civic affairs, we found that there was just the draft marriage policy, which was the only target out of six, five achieved and one not achieved that was not, and that's now at public consultation. So I'm quite comfortable with that one target having to be addressed. But again, Chairperson, I think it's important to note the financial versus targets performance in that 96.4% of the budget is spent with only 63% of the target met. Another concerning factor is the fact that we were at the lowest in the past three financial years. And I think it's important to note that we had different circumstances, and due to those different circumstances, it has been explained quite clearly about why this has been the case. But with that, I think our target and approach needs to be how we improve on achieving in our next financial year and improving in terms of our targets. I want to support the proposal made by your South Chairperson, and I just want to add that we should include timelines. So I support that proposal, but we should have direct and specific timelines so that we are able to see where we are falling short. And then the last one is risk assessment. I think it's important that in light of not just COVID, but also civil unrest and looting as more recent, and there may be other risks that one has not identified. And I think it's important for the department to conduct or update their risk assessment and have a clear plan on how to address the risks and mitigate the risks that they find themselves in. I'm a firm believer that we don't just sit and complain at every opportunity that we get, but we must be part of the solution, and we must be able to provide solutions. So as members and honorable members, if we are able to provide guidance and provide a solution to some of the challenges that we find, that's what we should be doing, and avoid and minimize complaints. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable, for your contributions to the presentation, and all members who made contributions and questions and comments and proposals on how certain on how we can run the and assist the department. One of the strengths I think we may need to agree, which I think is beginning to emerge in our collective as honorable members, is to be critical on the weaknesses that we identify at the department, but also to give a positive posture on the progress work the department has been implementing. I think so what is coming out in terms of the issues where the department are doing well, we must be able to have communicate that to our people, because what matters in terms of our work is to make sure that service is rendered to our people. So we must be able to come out with that message in any platform that we have accorded to communicate, including the public servants who does good in terms of assisting us or assisting both members, parliament, councillors, for the service of our people. But where the critical weaknesses must also talk to that and inform our people so that our people are kept informed on the work of the department, in particular in the work that we have been given assigned to in this portfolio committee. We must take note that the minister members are commenting on the work progress that the department is doing in the HGC and then TASAF, but also the weaknesses that need improvement in line with what we have presented. I'm going to invite the DG to take responses and comments of members, then invite the DM, the minister. The DG will delegate if you before the DM and the minister if your team collective need to respond to some of the areas that we think we can have authority on. There's an emphasis on the time frame that has been outlined. There's an emphasis also on the area that of the anti-corruption report that I think we're still awaiting. And also more interested on the progress in line with the, in the last meeting, the minister has appointed the team former director general to deal with the issues of the payments. And I think we need to get just a brief in terms of that process. In that, also in that area, whether there's what is the movement in terms of assisting members of the public around the payment. Director General?
No, thank you, Chair. And thank you to honorable members for the questions that we posed. I think we do take, Chair, the recommendation from both yourselves and the Honorable Van der Merwe on the department coming back to present a turnaround plan in terms of those targets that we were not able to achieve. I suppose during quarter one, when we provide the quarter one and probably the annual performance report, we should be able to speak to some of the concerns that were raised. I think Honorable Funder, we have raised an issue beyond the turnaround plan for an achieved target, which we will do. Honorable Funder, we are coming to the committee to present on the work of the counter-corruption unit. And I think we will really appreciate where there are stories that members of this committee pick up to share those with us so that we can then get the teams and also law enforcement authorities to look into some of these issues, because it's important that we collaborate to deal with the pandemic of corruption in the country. And then on the immigration targets, I think you asked a question as to when, in terms of when we will be able to get the system. DDG Mavuso will be able to speak to that in terms of by when. And then including the issue that I raised with regards to some of the indirect agreements that are currently in place with regards to us and the collaboration with SARS. I suppose the recouping of the money from some of these countries is a discussion that we'll continue to have. We have raised it with the colleagues at DERCO, and perhaps at an opportune time we'll then come back to this committee through the minister to indicate some of the challenges and what some of the proposals are in terms of how this can be dealt with. With regards to Wingfield, we continue to collaborate quite well, the three spheres of government, including the partnership that we have with the UNHCR. To date, the last report from the UNHCR has indicated that more than 800 people have volunteered for integration. You will note that we indicated last at this committee that we have applied for an eviction order, because we can't just go and collapse those structures. We have to follow due process. We have applied for an eviction order, so as the city of Cape Town, to ensure that we remove those structures, because if we don't, it will be a moving target. People will come, they continue to go in there and stay, and as a result, it becomes difficult to police. So we're working with all those the law enforcement authorities and including the city of Cape Town and the provincial government, to make sure that those structures should be put down. And then with regards to some of the law enforcement operations, I think we will be able to provide a breakdown in terms of where the operations are currently being conducted. In certain instances, Honorable Van der Merwe, this is almost every week. In particular, in partnership with the SAPS and the Metro Police. But Mr. Matthews is with us. He will be able to elaborate in terms of some of the questions that you are raising, in terms of the reality between what we have and the reality that's currently on the ground. You will note that we don't have a lot in terms of the immigration officials that are out there and implementing some of these activities, as compared to our counterparts at the SAPS, as compared to our counterparts at Metro Police. The CETA issue, I think we've met, I think this week we've met around three times with colleagues at CETA in response to some of the issue. I'll combine this with the concern or the question that was raised by Honorable Roth. We have been engaging with CETA around the service level agreement, and of course we do have disagreements in terms of who takes responsibility in certain instances for the infrastructure, because that falls within the mandate of CETA. We can then enter into discussions in terms of how we work on the service level agreement. They have indicated to us that for us to get to a gold status,
we will need to ensure that we pay at least 200 million. This is money that's currently not there in the fiscus. And we now are continuing to engage with them to look at some of the challenges that they have highlighted. And I think you have highlighted the issues around cable theft. But for us, what is of interest is the alternatives that are there, whether it is fiber, whether it is Wi-Fi, whether it's other connectivity that is there. That's the discussion that we're having with CETA as to how can they migrate quickly to some of the options. In the urban areas, I think most of the areas have a fiber network. It's one of those things that we are looking at, including the issue that you have spoken about around the redundancy, to make sure that when one network is down, we're able to tap into the other. And that will include the banks in particular, the partnership that we have with them. I think some of the questions that you have asked, Honorable Ross, are on the agenda for the discussion with the Portfolio Committee next week, in particular on the war on queues. Both ourselves and CETA will be before this committee. So perhaps let's not preempt some of those issues that you have referred to. And then on working on Saturdays, DDG HR, Gidi Mwoboko is a part of the meeting. I'll defer that question to her because there has been part of those discussions. And then on the digitization question that you have asked, Honorable Ross, we are getting support with regards to this issue, in particular with regards to the birth records. And I think it will assist us in terms of improving our efficiencies with regards to digitizing all our records. We have received now support from the Department of Science and Innovation because they do have some of their entities that are working in this space, and they've also committed to funding the project. At the moment, the Honorable Ross, we've set aside 18 million rands to make sure that we digitize some of the ones that we believe we are a priority. And of course, 18 million is a drop in the ocean if we were to look at how many records we have to digitize, more than 280 million records. And to that extent, the 18 million will be spent with the SA just to complement what they've been doing. However, I think the minister can speak about other initiatives, although it might be premature at this point, that we're having with the presidency in terms of other projects that will be assisting us to upscale the digitization of all the records, because we believe it will then assist us to deal with the issues that Honorable Kanyile spoke about around the access or efficiencies with regards to requests for an unabridged certificate, marriage, and so on and so forth. So those issues, we are working on them. And there was a question that Honorable Kanyile also asked about the smart ID targets. These are smart ID targets that are ready for collection at the Home Affairs office. But to that extent, maybe just to go back on the issue that you've spoken about around the unabridged certificate and marriage, we now have Minister at some point will come to this committee and inform the committee about a team that we have set up just to be dedicated to responding to these public queries, queries that are coming from Parliament, queries that are coming from our foreign missions, so that we have people that are dedicated. Their job will just be to focus on these queries until we've dealt with this backlog. I think Honorable Tito asked about delays with the NSG consultations. I indicated in the presentation that that has been done. We have now received a letter from the National School of Government giving us the green, the go-ahead to proceed with regards to that. And then Honorable Nif has extended an offer that we meet with him on the private member's bill. Just to let you know, Chair, that Ms. Both, the head of our current acting Chief Director for Legal Services, Advocate CSDCB Major, and Mr. Sifem Tiane, who's online,
who leads our policy unit under PDG Mabuso, have been directed to meet with you to explore what you are proposing. And then the other question that you have raised around whether we have preempted processes that are led by the Law Reform Commission, we are working quite close with the South African Law Reform Commission, and we do have periodic meetings which are led by DDG Sigama. You can add to that, so that we align all those processes and proposals. And at the moment, we believe that we are currently aligned with them with regards to this process. On the access model, I suppose once the minister gives the go-ahead, the Honorable Ross, we should be able to share with the committee some of the activities that have come out of the access model. But I think from a governance point of view, allow us to take the process within internal structures, and that will include how we're planning to extend our footprint, including at shopping centers and other activities related to that. I think the last one was with regards to immigration as well by Honorable Ross. The intervention that happened at Brooklyn was through our own immigration officers. The protest that was outside the UNHCR offices, through our intervention and collaboration with them, we were able to respond speedily with regards to that. I think on the visas, I explained, honorable members, that we now have a team, a backlog team, that's really working on dealing with all those applications on a daily basis. We've even ensured that they work quite late so that we're able to address these issues that you have raised. I think at an opportune time, we should be able to come before the committee on the BMA and be able to present in terms of the project plan and where we are. I think I've responded to most of the issues that were raised, Chair. I'll then hand over to the Deputy Minister and the Minister to respond to other issues. Thank you so much. But before we do that, if we can allow, Chair, maybe Mr. Matthews to respond on the law enforcement operations, and also Mr. Mabuso on the indirect agreements that we have with SARS. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DC, for your detailed response. Mr. Mabuso and Mr. Matthews will be the second, then I will invite the Deputy Minister. Mr. Mabuso.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to indicate that the issue relating to the appointment of the service provider to finish the development of the asylum seeker module on live capture has been delayed, as we've indicated. But what we are going to do is that in this financial year, there are three quarters that we're supposed to do. In the second quarter, we're developing the user specifications, and then the technical specification in the third quarter, and the fourth quarter is the development of a prototype for the ASM module in live capture. So the service that we currently receive from SARS through the indirect contract is only expiring in March next year. So we are going to be in negotiations with them to see whether after the prototype has been developed, we can then utilize that indirect agreement to continue to contract the service provider up until we go back to the market for the re-advertisement of that bid. The other issue in that regard is that we really need the service provider to continue to do support and maintenance. So there are plans to be able to mitigate that. We don't see the risk in that regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mabuso. Mr. Matthews.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, with regard to inspections and the issues of impact, yes, we do. Generally, those are the types, the areas that I've mentioned are generally the types of areas we've been doing our operations in. Now, when we do those operations, we do partner with with SAPS, Metro, and other departments. Because you look at areas such as Olivan Hub, Bush, Honeydew, Freedom Park, which are generally weekend operations and are larger operations, we're involved in those where you'll find the numbers of arrests will exceed 100, sometimes 200, and then they've got to go through the court process before they're taken to Lindela. Then we have other operations which are departmental-led, the inspections, which may be on a smaller scale due to our lower capacity. But generally, when we do these inspections, we are looking at impact. So from the time we do the inspection right through to the time they're detained through to deportation, we do analyze that to say what has been the impact. Us going to a certain area, inspecting businesses, inspecting shops, what's the outcome? Then we also respond to tip-offs. People will report on employees who may be illegal. We also assist on roadblocks in the trucking industries and other enforcement operations that are being led by other entities. They request our presence in order to to verify status and documentation. But I do want to indicate we are a smaller unit, and we also combine this work with our investigation work in terms of fraudulent documents, investigations into status. But as DJ has indicated, we will be able to provide a detailed analysis of these operations and what the impact is, how does it result in the numbers of deportations that we see. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I think I made an omission through you. There was a question around Saturday work that Honorable Goss asked us to respond to, and I indicated DDJHR will respond to it through you, Chair, if DDJHR can respond to that question.
Yes, yes. Proceed, DDJHR.
Thank you very much.
I'm also told that DDJHR, there's no name, so pardon us.
I'm so sorry. My name is Nkidi Mohoboko, Chairperson, and greetings to all Honorable Members and Minister, Deputy Minister. The question that was asked by Honorable Ruth on the resumption of Saturday work, I must say that, Chairperson, we are not making a lot of headway there because of the following challenge. When we discuss or we negotiate this matter with the union's understanding of Saturday work is premised on the basis that it is overtime, so they do not see it as work that should be done within normal working hours. And for them, they indicated that for them to even consider sitting down and discussing this matter with the department, they need to see how much the department is prepared to put forward as overtime work. And I'm sure, as the CFO has indicated, our status of finances in the compensation of employees, we realize that we do not have any leeway to move around the issue of putting any monetary incentive for this particular issue. So we worked around different iterations of what we can present to the unions, but that are non-monetary. And we have since then deadlocked on that issue, because in the past we did write to National Treasury requesting for any financial incentive that would come from the fiscus, and we did not get any positive feedback from National Treasury. So we do not have the financial muscle to put this matter to bed. However, we are still interested in making sure that we negotiate further with the unions on this matter, Chairperson. I just thought, let me stop there. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that's the better clarity given the labor issues that the department has to interact with. And I think that as we move forward, you'll update us in terms of the continuous discussions to lobby for what members propose could be the better way to come closer to our people, in particular the youth that must access the services of the department. Deputy Minister Mshazi, I think the DM, the DG has exhausted all the issues that supposed to have been responded. Yeah.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to all the members of the Portfolio Committee and the management staff of Home Affairs. Let me firstly echo the sentiments as raised by yourself, Chair, as well as Honorable Lizelle, as well as the DG, that non-achievement does not mean never to be achieved. All the ones that have not been achieved, they will have been rolled over and will definitely provide timelines on when we plan to achieve those tasks. So I just want to set the committee at ease that those that we have not been able to achieve, they will definitely be achieved. The second issue is that we will really appreciate the support from the Portfolio Committee on our plans to reduce dependency on CETA so that we can have our own internal capacity as a department, and plans are in place to deal with those particular issues for the long term of things. So members of the committee can rest assured that we are not just sitting and saying everything will be done by CETA and we'll forever wait on CETA. The 466,499 IDs issued to over 16-year-olds are the IDs that have been issued. Some have been collected, some not collected. And I just want to make sure that we explain this thing clearly. The figure of uncollected identity document will fluctuate from time to time, because when you issue, you expect people to collect, and when people collect, you then issue more. So it's a figure that is fluctuating, whereas the 466,499 speaks to the ones that we have collected applications on, and we have issued them and dispatched them to branches, and as such, we set the target at that particular level. I think earlier on in the year, we were sitting at about 428 uncollected, as of the end of July, we are sitting on 418, and we are making means that whatever that we issue, it becomes collected with speed, but it's a forever moving target. And I think that as the DG would have alluded, that we do have plans to put more mobiles in place, particularly because they now help us quite a lot with their collection functionality, which means we no longer, as I've indicated in the Portfolio Committee before, we no longer just go and collect applications and then refer clients to go and collect in the local branches. Talks to the number of hours. We can now go to a school, we collect application, and then return to that particular school and issue identity documents, which means the learning time is not compromised for learners. I think there was a question that was asked about that. On the issue of early birth registration, and I think we must really accept that the management has also done very well here in terms of increasing our footprint in hospitals. That has assisted us in making sure that we register beds within 30 days. Now, that will help us in the long term in dealing with the problems that Honorable Kanyere was talking about, so that in future we don't have problems of unabridged birth certificate, because we are able to issue birth certificates on time with proper information before the person leaves the hospital. So I thought I must just elaborate on those few issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister Njabulo Nzunza, for adding up to the work that the department is doing. Minister, I'll allow you to, I think you'll be highlighting on the issues that were raised, including the issues that were raised by Honorable Hendricks. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Members, for the very, very important input that you have presented here. We really appreciate them, because I can assure you it is going to take the department very far. And I'm actually excited that some of the inputs and the questions coincide with what we are thinking and what we are planning in the department. Let me start with, because other issues, questions have already been answered from the DG and his staff and the deputy minister. The issue raised by Honorable Lizelle on the issue of corruption and bribes and all that, I once said it, and I'm not going to hide it again. I'm going to say it again in this committee. There is no way I'll stand in front of this committee and lie that there's no corruption in Home Affairs. There is, and a lot for that matter. But a lot is being done now, and I can assure you, I think we're heading for a major confrontation between people who are corrupt in the Department of Home Affairs and the investigations that we are carrying on, which for legal reasons I cannot disclose now, but I think we are going to head for a major confrontation in fighting this battle. And honorable members will have to understand that it means the Department of Home Affairs will have to be severely disrupted in order to get it right on this issue of corruption, because it's quite perverse and it's something that we cannot stand. We're not going to tolerate it. The issue, Honorable Van der Merwe, of countries having to recruit the money from them, as the DG has said, we are speaking to Delco. Some countries are magnanimous enough to pay for some of the services even before we ask them. The problem is there's no international obligation to make them to do so. That's where our weakness is. You can only cajole and negotiate and all that, and those with goodwill. So one of the things we are doing, as we have announced to this committee, in the review of the Citizenship Act, the Refugee Act 1998, and the Immigration Act, and we are having a workshop next week. We are inviting some of the most knowledgeable people, even those who once worked for United Nations, to come in our workshop. We want to see if some of these things cannot be incorporated in the new act, so that you no longer depend on the goodwill of countries or otherwise. The issue, Honorable Van der Merwe, again, of this juncture on the reports of law enforcement agency and on the ground, and what's happening on the ground, I think it's a reflection of the depth of the problem. And in this case, you are aware that the president has announced an interministerial team on immigration, which is co-chaired by myself and the Honorable Minister of Labor and Employment, Minister Tulas Ncesi. We have already made a lot of, covered a lot of work in that respect. And we believe there are at least three ways to approach this problem. The first one is identify policies and acts that already exist in the country, but that are not implemented by several stakeholders. And unfortunately, everybody throws them to Home Affairs, meaning anybody who has got the tag of not being a South African, whenever they do something wrong, they say, where is Home Affairs? I'm talking here not to throw responsibility to somebody, Chairperson, but I want to give you examples, which myself and ministers are working on. Having to own a spaza shop, you have got to be licensed. Whether you are a South African or not, you have got to get some form of license. And that license is not issued by Home Affairs. But time and again, you hear people complaining about foreign nationals who own lots and lots of spaza shops in the townships, and they ask, what is the Department of Home Affairs doing? Now, we believe, with Minister Ncesi, that we are going to put this on the agenda of the cabinet when we report, that let local authorities implement their laws, including bylaws. And we want members of this parliament to please understand that, because most of the time, they believe Home Affairs is running away from its responsibility when we mention things like bylaws. In the city of Tshwane, I was the mayor of Tshwane, Mr. Randall Williams, asked for a meeting with me. And unfortunately, when that meeting took place, he couldn't attend for quite the number of reasons. But I met with his officials, and they were complaining of foreign nationals who have taken land illegally around Tshwane and saying we are doing nothing about it. We set up a team, which Mr. Messius was part of, as part of this 120 law enforcement project which he has spoken about. But what I told the city was this: in terms of the laws of the country, any human being without a tag, whether it's a South African or a foreign national, who occupy land illegally, must be removed within 48 hours, immediately. If you don't do so, then it becomes a problem. And I ask them, if some people are foreign nationals and they occupy land illegally for more than 48 hours, where was the local authority in this? Because now we are going to clean up through these law enforcement agencies when people are already settled. I made the same thing last week when I visited my constituency office, which is in Vereeniging, where even councillors were complaining to me about foreign nationals, especially from Lesotho, who have established illegal settlements there, and the settlements are known to be occupied by them. And I asked them a question as councillors: when that illegal settlement was put up there, where were they in terms of this law for the past 48 hours? So I'm just giving this as an example. The others, of course, will come out when the committee reports. Now, the issue of over-reliance on CETA, the DG has already said, I am in very serious discussion with Treasury and CETA on this, and my excitement is that the new Minister of Communication Digital Technologies has already on her own accord phoned me last week and say, I'm ready to solve your CETA problem because I understand it. Because she said she was once employed in CETA and she knew some of these weaknesses. We are due to meet next week. Before coming to you, we'll have met, and she promised me that she has got some solutions, and I'm really looking forward with excitement. On the issue of BMA, Honorable Van der Merwe, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That is moving at a snail's pace, and it's a source of deep frustration for me, because if the Border Management Authority is functional, then these stories of foreign national occupying land illegally, being in large numbers, law enforcement agencies conducting 120 operations, 100% more than what they've planned, and they still need more, those things will actually reduce and fall by the wayside if we no longer allow people just to come here illegally, willy-nilly. So I'm really looking forward to the solution of these problems. One of the things that delayed us, Honorable Chair, is that in the Act, it says the appointment of the Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner, Honorable Van der Merwe, is not only Deputy Commissioners who have to be appointed, even the Commissioner. Remember, we've got an acting Commissioner. The appointment of the Commissioner, who is going to be at the same level as the Commissioner of Police and the Deputy Commissioner, are in the hands of the President. But in terms of the Act, it says you need concurrence from the Minister of Finance. Concurrence, not just discussion after, but concurrence from the Minister of Finance. At what level do you pay their salaries? For the past 4 months, we've been seeking for that concurrence and struggling and writing letters, but I'm happy to announce that last week, the new Minister of Finance has given us that concurrence, and I'm very happy about it, because we have gone out and searched who are the people who must be commissioner and deputy commissioner. They've been subjected to various tests. Just yesterday, I got information from HR that they've got through competency management tests, and I was told that this morning, and I suspect it will be after this portfolio committee, a document will be put on my table about the results of that, meaning then I can go to the President and say we have pre-selected these people through various means, but we can't select them because it's your job, President. I'll put them in front of you and say from this lot, choose the Commissioner and the two Deputy Commissioners so that we move very fast, including forcing other departments to cooperate with us, because yes, some of them are not really giving us their full cooperation. The issue of Honorable Kanyile, thank you very much for the issues we raised about the backlogs on an unabridged birth certificate, etc. I've instructed the civic unit to develop a plan, because as we're speaking now, Honorable Members, we have got three types of birth certificates in the country, and that should not continue. We have got three types of birth certificates.
We've got the best TV case that is abridged because it was so in the past. And they are still out there in the market. They are still there in the hands of our people. You now have an abridged best TV case, which started in 2013 when we decided that best TV case must be unabridged now, meaning they must have information of both parents on the best TV case. So that's the second best TV case we have got. The third one is that thereafter we said a best TV case must neither be abridged or unabridged. It must just be a best TV case, meaning that it must have complete information about the parents and all the details about the person who is receiving that best TV case. Now, we are working on a program to make sure that we do away with the old ones and remain with the best TV key. And that is going to be a mammoth of a task, but plans are ahead to do that. Now, the delay is honorable, Kanile, which we really thank you for now for being helped, for helping the public by coming to us, and we trying to help you. But we think that is sort of piecemeal, because one of the biggest reasons why there's a backlog is what Honorable Ruas has mentioned here, the digitization of records. You are working with 287 million records that started in 1895, and they are all manual, and people must work through them whenever you want a document which needs a historical record. And so we believe if records are digitized, it will work. So maybe because the DG has already said the minister will come on this, on other plans, he has already mentioned how they are working with science and technology. What we have done, remember the president has established what is called Infrastructure South Africa, whereby the former mayor of Tshwane, Dr. Ramokopa, is heading that. We have met him last week. He's going to do three projects for us under that Infrastructure South Africa, including funding. One of them is to make sure that we get customized home affairs offices. The other is this digitization of 287 million records. And from what our meeting with him, we are about to announce to you publicly exactly what the plan is. On the issue, Honorable Tito, of mobile units, mobile trucks, yes, we have already taken that decision. And we did not want to wait until the next financial year, because I can tell you these trucks are very useful. We have already instructed the CFO to look into the budget and find out, even at this late hour, how much is left even before the new financial year to buy trucks. And he has been able to split something from the budget. We are going to buy 10 more trucks. They cost 3 million rand each, because each one of them will cost 1 million. Then to install home affairs equipment is 1 million. Then we've discovered we need satellite units, because there are areas where these trucks, even with the best equipment, just do not have network reception. Whether you have installed Vodacom or MTN or whatever, you need a satellite unit, and each satellite unit costs 1 million. Honorable Chair, I'm aware that you're already impatient on the stage, but I need to explain the importance of this tax for people to understand it.
Minister. I think you've realized that I've not said anything. And
I'm listening. You can't scare me. I get intimidated when I see your face, because it was not there.
I'm listening attentively, Minister.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. You know, just to tell you the importance of this truck, we have partnered with the Department of Health in Limpopo because their immunization program is very good. That wherever they go to immunize, we take trucks there. We took trucks to a village called Mafefe in Limpopo, next to Lebowakgomo, deep in the mountains between Lebowakgomo and Tzaneen. We took trucks there. And lots of people came and they were very excited. They told us that if there are no trucks, they've got to travel to Lebowakgomo and they pay 65 rand a trip, and sometimes they never get service. Now that the trucks are here, they are happy, and I was excited. But my excitement was short-lived, because the trucks were working at a snail's pace, because the network goes away quite frequently.
And we even have to order more trucks. There were two in the beginning of that morning. By the afternoon, there were already five, but working at the slow snail pace because they didn't have satellites. Now their usefulness is that we were excited on that day, Honorable Chair, because a former member of parliament, a former president of Contralesa, Honorable Setamorabo Tobejani, actually came to the mobile truck to get married to one of his wives. A marriage was conducted there on the truck. So it's not only issuing birth certificates and IDs, it's even conducting marriage for people who live in far rural areas, which was quite exciting. And that's why I came back and said, CFO, get us more money, we need more trucks. And in the new financial year, we are going to increase them. Actually, my aim is that the number of trucks we have got must increase by 100% because I've seen their usefulness. Chairperson, the last issue, I'm not sure where I've missed it. The last issue I wanted to talk about, yes, Honorable Rios, just a small correction. When I said Home Affairs lost seven people, I meant in the first 14 days of this year, the first 14 days of January. The actual number of Home Affairs officials we lost to COVID since the beginning of COVID is actually 40. It's not seven. The seven is just for the first 2 weeks, but the total of 40 Home Affairs officials perished, including a chief director, because of the problems of COVID. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for the responses and some of the questions raised. We went to details, and which assist us members to understand the task ahead and the progress that the department has been doing. I think this members gives assurance to the reports that we've been given by the department since the sixth parliament. We've been struggling to locate why the department is struggling to move forward. But at least with time, we are grappling with the progress and appreciation of the work that has been done in terms of the areas that the members have identified. I think what is coming clear that the minister and the DG and the DM is the time frame and the plan, turnaround plan, on all the issues that have been raised by yourselves, in particular on the recommendations outlined. And that, I think, we may need to concede to have that brief sometime late September or early October before we go to recess. Just to ascertain members in terms of the time frame, and also to expand on the limitations on some of the issues that we may not implement within the time frame that will be allocated. The BMA rollout, I think, border management is one of the highlights of this committee. You remember when we were interfacing with this matter during the crisis here in the country. And this DMA matter was highlighted as the one of the areas that will at least contribute to resolve some of the issues which we're dealing with in our border. So it will be important, and I appreciate the movement now that even the new minister has signed off the process of this BMA implementation rollout, and the commissioners are going to be appointed. It will be important, Minister. And that, given our clear approach on the governance, that women and the youth find expression, DG, in all the decisions that the department are going to taking forward, including people living with the disability. Because at a particular time, we'll call the department to account on the response on this question, so that we understand where the department in terms of bringing new, because the old will exist, but the system remains. So we need to get that assurance, and I hopefully that cautiously, as you deal with this process of the BMA commissioners, that part will be noted. I think the matter of SARS, DG and Mr. Mabuso, it was to pursue, given the challenges that we're having with the network. I note that we're going to still have the interaction with Peter and yourself in the next session, but it's important that we take appreciation on that SARS interaction with the department. I think the minister in the earlier times of the committee did make a good argument in terms of why SARS is not a target all the time, and its services can help to assist the department. Members, I think some of the issues that were raised, the targets which the department has achieved, and the roles non-targets achieved, we have to monitor that as the committee and able to receive to our members. Minister, there's an area there, and I think this mobile truck will come to end. Honorable Pillay will tell you that in Chatsworth, it indeed assisted our people, learners, and I can give accounts to Hamulepo in Limpopo, where this mobile truck has assisted. There are some of the areas which still have challenges, and I want to draw your attention, Deputy Minister, to an area in Mpumalanga, Savi there in Mativiti. Our people walk a distance. And I think this initiative of increase of mobile trucks will indeed make service closer to our people. The issue of the malls is quite important with in our interaction in Eshowe where we went and in Mamelodi. Given the challenges that are surrounding our offices as we have alerted by members. But it's quite important that initiative in terms of the mall where members, our communities are closer to be explored. We're happy that discussion is beginning to emerge from your strategic plan as the department. Members, I'm sure that we don't have any other matter, not the report, the progress that is made, appreciating the minister. And we think that we will interface on the plans that the minister and the DG and the DM will be bringing in terms of tracing the work that we are doing. Thank you very much. We're going to set off this item, minister and your team. We'll release you because we're going to deal with the minutes of the portfolio committee. Unless there's a follow-up from members, just for noting so that in the next meeting, at least the department is ready to respond on that. I don't want to close without this, just 5 minutes. If there's any follow-up from members, then they will note it, and in the next meeting they will respond so that we're on time in terms of our meeting. Is there any follow-up, co-chair?
No, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the DG, to the minister, and the deputy minister. I was really well covered on all my issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Follow up, Honourable Kanyele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if it's going to be possible for the department when they come back to inform us on the progress they've made in terms of getting people to come and collect their IDs. Because if my memory serves me well, I remember that there was a period where the deputy minister had a drive where he was encouraging members of the community to come and collect their IDs. We'd like to know what was the progress made, and so that you can also look in our different areas where we are political heads and see how we can actually be able to assist in ensuring that everyone that has applied for their smart card, they actually do come and collect them. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Tito. Any follow-up?
Thank you. No, I'm covered. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Rose, any follow-up?
Thank you, Chair. Just to say that I really appreciate some of the initiatives that are going on. It sounds like some progress is being made. But just to comment on the opening of the offices on Saturday, and it sounds like, you know, the minister said they're going to push as hard as possible, but it sounds like they've given up. So we really need to consider that high school learners, They should not be standing. They should not be queuing at Home Affairs offices in the week. And so in the case that the office are then not going to open on a Saturday, then we need an actual rollout plan that these mobile units visit each and every high school so that these learners don't have to take time away from school to get their ID documents.
Thank you. Honorable Hendrik, any follow-up?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I am covered and I'm looking forward to the meeting and flying down to Victoria for the meeting.
Thank you. Honorable Pillay, any follow-up?
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Nothing from my side.
Okay. Thank you, members. We are now sending off this item. Thank you, Minister, DM, the DG. We'll only note the issues that members have raised for the next interaction. We are now releasing you from the this meeting to deal with the minutes of the portfolio committee. Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you.
Members, thank you very much. We will now deal with the minutes as we have requested in the last committee. We were supposed to have adopted them. We have went through the minutes. The members have made inputs. I have also taken notes of some of the inputs that were made. I will give Mr. Matonsi and Adams an opportunity to run on the minutes and give guidance on how we must interface with them. Mr. Matonsi?
Hi, Chair. We do have about 8 sets of minutes. I added last week meeting, and then the minutes will start from the 2nd of March. Adam, is it possible that you can show them on the screen? The 2nd of March?
Eddie, sorry, I'm having trouble connecting to my work laptop. I'm using my home laptop. So I can't access the minutes. I've got the reports available and the stress plan, but I can't display the minutes at the moment.
Oh, okay. Let me just try to... Chairperson, are you able to see the minutes?
Yes. Yes, I can just increase the...
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know how to increase, how to make the increase, to increase the...
Eddie, on the bottom right-hand side, where on the bottom right-hand side there, just above.
Okay. Oh.
A little bit more...
Yeah, it's... Okay, Chair. Okay.
Can proceed.
Okay, Chair. It's minutes of the 2nd of March. That's where the committee was briefed by SCRA and RASA on their work and challenges. That is the standing committee on refugee affairs and RASA. And then let me just quickly, and also that was the last date when we adopted the minutes, the previous set of minutes. And then here it was that the question that were not answered should be responded in writing. That's the COVID resolution in writing as soon as possible. All set of minutes were adopted, that in future minutes should be adopted more frequently. So that's the set of minutes, Chairperson. Should I go page by page if there are any changes? Page one. Page two. Is there any? Page three. Page 4, 5, 6, and then the last page is page 7. Chairperson, it seems if there are no amendments on the minutes, if you can call for the adoption and of the minutes.
Okay, members, this is the minutes. Can I invite for adoption?
Chairperson, I move for adoption.
Honorable Pillay, move for the adoption. Seconder?
I will second Chairperson, it's Honorable Fanamarva.
No, sorry, co-chair. I think you're muted. Co-chair. Seconder, co-chair, thank you very much. Can you proceed second minute, Mr. Matons?
Okay. Okay, then the second minute is the minutes of the meeting held on the 4th of May, wherein the Department of Home Affairs briefed the committee on their annual report and the budget. You will recall that last year the department was not able to brief the committee during the BRRR process on the annual report, but they tabled the report a bit late, and then we received the briefing on May 2021. I'll just move down to the bottom if there are. Okay, and then one of the issues that was discussed, it was committee queries that the HA and the committee of three that members of the committee have submitted should be updated. The committee should have a meeting with the HA, the Department of Communication, on the matter of downtime at home affairs. On the matter of underfunding, the committee proposed that it should meet with National Treasury to discuss the funding for DHA.
Eddie, sorry, just one moment. We're not able to see the document yet.
Oh, you're not able to see the document?
No. You are still... I'm just reading on my side.
I don't know why. Okay, let's... Are you able to see it now?
No.
Person,
Yes, Honorable
Pillay. Yeah, I just wanted to, for the sake of progress, if members have corrections on a specific minute as we're going through it, that we should raise it instead of Eddie going through page by page, because I think this is the second time that we are attempting to adopt this minute. So members should have had time since the last meeting to have gone through the minutes. And if there's anything, then it's going to be able to save us time.
Okay. No, I think that's a progressive. The issue may be if the some of the areas where is not properly captured and is not flagged, that may be the difficulty. But because these are 8 minutes, and Braedi need to go through them and work to rush up to the to plenary. If Mr. Matonsi indicates the date of the minutes and the subject of that meeting, and if there were any issues that members wanted to contribute or to add, but I know members have added, like what Honorable Ross did in our last meeting on the issues that you identified, Lindela issues, Bushiri matters, this and that, which were elected just to give a certainty to those issues that we dealt with in that in those issues. Can we run it in that manner, members, so that we? I've gone through the minutes myself. So, but I wanted members to be comfortable with the process so that we don't run out of the minutes. There's a proposal, members, that let's call minutes, subject matter, and the issues we're dealing with, the date, and if there were corrections or input to be done, we do it unlike running through the pages. Members?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Ross?
Chairperson, I agree with that approach. I think it's what we discussed last week.
Yeah.
I agree with it.
Okay. Mr. Matunzi, I think you are not get the framework.
Yeah, I do get Chairperson. Yeah, so okay. The minutes of the meeting on the 4th of May, where the department was briefing the committee on the APP and budget. If there's any other amendments on the minutes or any changes?
Eddie, are you still?
Mr. Adams and Eddie, you seem to want to interrupt your own meeting.
Okay, I'm just calling for members to indicate if there are any other amendments in the body of the minutes.
Okay. Members, adoption?
Chairperson?
Honorable Ross?
Chair, there was just the issue of we had called for the BMA implementation project plan.
Yeah,
to be tabled to the committee at some stage. So that's the only addition.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is part of the recommendation on the minutes, Mr. Matunzi.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'll add it, Chair. I'll add it, Chair.
Yes, it was a BMA, a rollout plan, including the terms of reference of the commissioner. That remember at that time there was only this acting commissioner Ravel.
Yeah.
I remember there was an issue that was raised around the terms of reference of the commissioner.
Okay, I'll add that. Here.
Okay, thank you. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Move for the adoption.
Chair, I propose the adoption of the minutes.
Hi, Chair. This is Honorable Tanila.
Yes, proposal by Omar Ross, Honorable Kanyile, seconded. Minutes.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Then the third one is on the 7th of May 2021, which is the briefing by the IEC and government printing work on the APPs and budget. And then any changes to the minutes? There's any changes?
Members, seconded for the adoption. Any other matter? I think on the issue, Honorable Matunzi, there was an issue around the progress report since the last oversight on the corrupt activities. Remember there was a loss of application form for the CFO, and there was a recommendation that we need a report in the next, we need the report including the Hawks report around activities that ensued at Government Printing Works.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll add that, Chair.
Members, can move for the adoption of the report of the minutes.
You can move for the adoption.
Ms. Honorable Mzia, move for the adoption.
Second, Chair.
Honorable Pillay, second the adoption. Can you go for the first minute?
Then the first one is on the 11th of May, which was the briefing by the department, UNHCR, City of Cape Town, South African Human Rights Commission on the protesting foreign nationals in Cape Town.
Minutes of that meeting, members, can you, is there any matter around that?
Chairperson?
Honorable Ross?
Chairperson, I'd raise the issue of recommendation 10.4, which states that the information that the foreign nationals were killed in the host communities was not true because the majority of the asylum seekers have been integrated. So firstly, that isn't really a recommendation. It might be a statement, but I don't remember that statement being made by anybody. it might have been a statement made by the minister, but certainly not a committee recommendation. So the proposal is that this recommendation 10.4 be removed. Because there's no evidence, we didn't receive any evidence to support this claim.
What is the first point?
It reads, the information that the foreign nationals were killed in the host communities was not true because the majority of the asylum seekers have been integrated.
Oh, and at that time the majority were not yet integrated.
Well, not only was that not integrated, but there was nobody made the statement. And then secondly, there was no evidence. It's not like a report came to say that this is a fact and this is the investigation. And this is what came back.
So
therefore you can't make a recommendation.
Yes, I agree with that amendment, Mr. Matonsi.
Yes, I can move it, but I just want to make it clear. But I think the statement, I think it was made by the department or the minister, but it was talking in terms of the asylum seekers in the country in general, not necessarily the Cape Town one. That asylum seekers in general in South Africa, they have been integrated. So there's little information that no asylum seekers and foreign nationals are getting killed. So that's why, you know, there was no claim that no in Cape Town as well, people are getting killed as well.
I think the point here is that foreign nationals have been killed in the host countries, which the evidence or the report is not coming forth because at least the police should have submitted the report which give authority to this statement, although to Home Affairs and to our attention. I think it's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to make a sense in terms of the logic of the statement that has been raised. So if it's not accurate, we may need to remove it.
Okay, no, I'll remove it. Fine.
Okay. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes?
Adoption.
Honorable Modise, move for the adoption. Seconder?
I will second.
Okay.
Co-chair, Honorable Lizelle, seconder, thanks very much. Can you move for the...
The fifth one is on the 18th of May, which was the briefing by the ISD on the annual report.
Yeah, I think the fifth report on the annual report, there's an issue which I think sent out I think it did not come clearer in terms of the committee recommendation, but there was a highlight on the pay situation for this electoral voting. In our last meeting, there was an issue around conducting a tour to get a sense of this electoral voting, but it came out clearly that was indicated on the report that was presented by Mr. Adams last week. Is there any other matter? Move on for the adoption of the minutes. Honourable Ross.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Move for the adoption of the minutes. Seconder. Honourable.
And seconder.
Honourable, can you second the minutes? Can you go for the six?
The sixth is on the 1st of June, briefing by the department on the second and third quarter, and consideration of the report on the new remuneration of IEC Commission.
Can I check for the adoption of the minutes? This one we've adopted is obviously members in our last meeting. The remission of commissioners later communicated from the president and other matters. Honorable Mudite, Mr.
Chairperson.
Honorable.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Move for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Ruas, Honorable Play. Seconder, who is the seconder? Co-chair?
Yes, I will second, Chairperson.
Thank you, Co-chair. Can you move for the 7th minute?
The 7th minute is on the 30th of July 2021, where the IEC briefed the committee on the Musmega inquiry report.
Okay, this is a report that the IEC briefed the committee, and the committee has noted the report because they were just briefing us, still in the process of going to Constitutional Court, which the judgment is pending. Can I get a mover to adopt the minutes? And then, Mr. Matos, I think it must be clear that on the minutes that we have noted that report of the Home Affairs, the IEC, because it has been accepted by the IEC and received a brief for noting, because it has not been finalized in terms of the process that the Home Affairs was taking on, of IEC. Can we move for that, Doctor?
Chairperson.
Honorable Ross?
Chair, there was one addition that I thought was important that needs to be added, not necessarily as a recommendation, but as an observation. Because if the election does end up going ahead on the 27th, this is going to be an urgent thing that the committee needs to deal with. And that's the fact that the VMDs, the voter management devices, the IEC had told us that the training has not been rolled out to everybody yet. So these had only been 88% rolled out in terms of the training. So I think it's important to note that if it comes to the point where where we have to rush for the 27th of October, that specific matter gets addressed urgently because that rollout needs to happen ASAP.
Okay.
But otherwise, so, I'm fine with the minute.
Okay. So there was that indication that the rollout has not been completed.
But I'd asked the question whether the VMDs had been rolled out and whether everyone had received training, and the response was that only 88% of the officials had received training on the VMDs, and that the VMDs had been delivered to the head office.
Okay. Mr. Matun, note the comments of Mr. Honorable Ruas. Go back a minute to the report. I'll go back now to that report. Just to ascertain ourselves, but in
Recording in progress.
The recommendations are these are the outstanding recommendations, and the department has in fact responded to most of these, and we will follow up on the outstanding matters.
No, that's the problem with how you want us to work. We don't want to work in the manner we want us to work. We said we went to the oversight, and that oversight was urgent, and there were issues dealt with there by members. And we need progress report in terms of implementation of the issues we raised there. Now, these recommendations, I'm saying, after the recommendations, we should get the progress plan, Mr. Matonzi and Mr. Adam, on the implementations that have been implemented. If there's no implementation on the government printing work, it must be reflecting there that there's no implementation on the issues of the oversight went there. So that we are clearer in terms of when the report goes to Parliament to be debated, we are clearer on what we went there for. Did that oversight carry positive outcome in terms of our interventions on the issue that we went for there? So it's how we must begin to work. I'm asking whether did you invite, sorry, did you request the report for this matters to be reflected on this report?
I've just captured something like that, Chairperson, as a final recommendation. Yes. We just indicated in 7.9 that there was an investigation being done that the results of which were due by 11 September initially, and the final report in 11 December. But so I've indicated once those investigations are done, they should be reported to the committee as soon as possible.
Can I ask the same? And different. Members, this issue of uniform posting in government printing works. How far is that process?
Okay, Chairperson.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a progress report which government printing works sent last week, which was sent to all members. So I think what Adam said in the sentence on 7.9 is indicating there that we are going to attach a report, a response, and a letter are attached on the appendix A and B. So in other words, we can attach that progress report from GPW.
Okay. No, it's fine. I think I'm fine if that is your approach, Mr. Adams and Mr. Matos. I thought there's nothing at all in terms of the, because it must reflect here on this report. So can I invite members to move further that doc? The minute co-chair has moved for the adoption for the report of government works. Seconder?
I second, Chair. What do you say?
Well, Modise Mta has seconded the report of government printing works. Thanks very much, members. All minutes.
One last thing. Sorry, apologies, Chairperson. One last thing is that the committee APP and business plan, we have affected all the changes recommended by members, including an additional section on additional issues that the members wish to cover that weren't covered in the report, and we've included those here in an additional section. We've also indicated that we've forwarded this to members along with the changes they recommended, and we should probably adopt this one too, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Adams. What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that we must adopt it now?
Yeah, if we can have a move and a seconder, then we can address this issue too, yeah.
Okay, no, thanks very much, Mr. Adams, for capturing some of the inputs members have contributed. Can I invite mover?
I will move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Co-chair, you move for the adoption. Seconder? Seconder, Mr. Honorable Pillay, thanks very much. If there any other matter, Mr. Matons?
No, there's no other matter, Chair.
Okay, thanks members for this exercise, adopting the minutes, correcting the report of the government printing works. and the presentation discussions on the oversight report this afternoon. I wish you all good luck in terms of your deliberation in the House. The meeting stands adjourned. If there's no announcement, the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, Co-Chair. Bye-bye, Co-Chair.
Bye, Acting Chair.
Recording stopped.